I'm Frank Vaughn. It is January 21st, 2025. And those of you who noticed, I seem to bet off. I'm nursing a shoulder injury. Maybe that has me a little bit more edgy than I would normally be. I want to talk about Canada as a remnant of a failed ideology. We've talked about post-nationalism in these videos recently, but I haven't expanded on it to say that it's an ideology that's been being implemented in the entire Western world, and only in the Western world. No one else is doing this, just us. And its hallmarks are mass immigration. Its main hallmark is mass immigration and the deconstruction of national identity. And it's happened everywhere. It's happened in Canada. It's happened in the United States. It's happened in France. People, you got to remember, in 2020, when Biden was running the first time, when they were doing their leadership, when the Democratic Party was having its nomination process, they virtually eliminated the American flag from all of their festivities. Post-nationalism was in its ascension. It was at the top at that point. And though the first Trump administration tried to bring it back, all the events that led to 2020 and led to the period between 2020 and 2024 were to reinforce it, even though what it did was highlight what a failure it is. Now, you have to understand, with the rise of the AFD in Germany, the rise of Le Pen in France, and the very clear problems that Europe is having when it comes to the consequences of mass immigration, whether it's Sweden with their rise in grenade attacks and gang crimes, it is not native Swedes that are responsible for that rise in crime. And they can cover it up all they want. It's so absurd. Whenever they arrest people, they cover them head to toe so the cameras can't see the flaw of their immigration policies. It's the same in London. It's the same in Great Britain. And it's such a failed experiment that before governments even change, they're starting to open re-migration centers in Europe to clean out this problem. Now, I want to ask you something. Do you feel it is compatible with Western values that men force their women, and yes, I'm using the possessive, men force their women because women are seen as owned items, little more than house dressing. Is it okay for men to force women to wear bags on their heads whenever they're in public and beat them to death if they don't? Is that something that's compatible with Western value systems? Do we need to understand that, or can we discriminate against that? Do you have a language that you value? Do you want your country to speak? Here in Canada, we have two official languages. Should we have three, four, five, six, seven languages? Should we have street signs that are a mile long so that we can accommodate everybody and eliminate any true national identity for Canada? Should we make allowances in our criminal justice system for people of very low IQ who come from horrible places? Should they not be criminally responsible? Should we protect them from criminal responsibility when they take advantage of women, when they commit crime, when they defecate in the streets, when they defecate on our beaches? Should it be culturally acceptable and tolerated that people just dump garbage on rural roads? I shouldn't say people. New Canadians just mass dump garbage everywhere all over our country. Is that something we should tolerate? Is that something we should celebrate? Should we be implementing here in Canada a caste system where there are certain undesirables called untouchables that we're not to make contact with? Should we be implementing some kind of neo-slavery in the name of cultural enrichment? Now, I could go on. I could go on and I could go on and I could go on. This experiment has failed. Now, Canada, when I say it's a remnant, the world, the Western world, is in the process of moving away from this. And when we go over the executive orders that Donald Trump signed yesterday, you're going to see that, once again, the Americans are the tip of the spear, and the rest of the world is going to follow. The world started to follow before he was even sworn in. As soon as the election was over, things started to change enormously. We have this flowering of free speech again. You've got Mark Zuckerberg prostrating himself before the new media saying, oh, it wasn't me. You know, I was just doing what I was told. You know, it was all Biden. We're going to accept his story, but I don't trust him, and neither should you, but I digress. Canada is alone right now in defending the consequences of the implementation of post-nationalism. Why is it we have allowed, and I say this in the West, I'm kind of jumping back and forth here, you'll just bear with me. We allowed Hollywood to be taken over. And so we've had a constant stream of DEI and genderless nonsense. We've created gender out of sex. We never should have done that. But we've created this androgynous soup, and then we promote it in our movies. We promote it in our TV shows. We promote it in our video games. They've invaded video games. It used to be the safe space for a freedom-loving person who liked new ideas and not ideological programming, but they've infected all of our AAA games, and it is terrible. They just produce junk. They don't produce gameplay. They produce propaganda. We've done that with our culture. We've taken Lord of the Rings. We've taken Star Wars. And we've taken the Wheel of Time. And even to a certain degree, even Yellowstone went that way. Every single thing that we create that had lasting cultural value, we have polluted with this ideology, and it has not worked. It's worked on some loud people online and some, quite frankly, weird people that live in cities. But the culture recognizes, people recognize, almost anthropologically they recognize, that male and female is the norm. Male, female, having children is the norm. That's how it works. That's how the natural order designed it. And sometimes there's some genetic flukes which amalgamate those things together, but it's an amalgamation of sexes. It's not an amalgamation of an imaginary gender construct that doesn't actually exist. It's live-action role-play, and we've been constantly told it's real, but you know in your heart, a human being knows that it's completely unreal. These policies, whether it's the destruction of your national identity, whether it's the destruction of your identity with normal human biology, whether it's the destruction of any number of things, it basically comes down to 2 + 2 = 5. They're trying to convince you that unreality is real, and it fractures your mind. It fills you with cognitive dissonance. It makes you angry. Whatever side you're on, if you're one of these people that's out there talking about transitioning kids, you should really talk about, or you should really go and talk to the victims of this ideology. It's coming to an end because it's not the natural state. So the rest of the world is moving away from this, slowly in some places, faster in others, except for Canada. We are currently still clinging to it. And this government, even though it's deeply unpopular, has used the Governor General so that they can keep clinging to power and keep clinging to this ideology. And I would say that all of Team Canada, all these premiers that are coming together under the flag of the Liberal Party to so-called defend Canada, they're feeding you to the wolves. The Trump administration has asked for some pretty basic things: that we spend our fair share through NATO, that we stop the flow of fentanyl, a deadly, horrible, addictive drug that's destroying people every single day, that is produced in Canada. Millions of doses. One bust alone was enough to kill the entire Canadian population. We're mass producing it, and we're not just mass producing it for the Canadian market. This is for export down into the United States. They've asked us to stop it. The cartels in Mexico are linked with these, it looks like, Sikh cartels here in Canada. Every single one of the people we bust has the last name Singh. You have to be able to tell the truth in order to identify a problem. We have human trafficking rings in this country. We have illegal gun smuggling. But back to the point. The United States wants us to stop the flow of fentanyl and they want us to stop the flow of human trafficking because people are coming into Canada illegally and they're being smuggled into the United States. And there's a whole pile of people, mostly new Canadians, along the way who are making a ton of money doing it. These are not vain allegations. This is rooted in fact. We know it's happening. The Americans have said, please stop doing that or we're going to impose tariffs. And it should tell you something that the government, instead of saying, you know what, you're right, let's secure the border, let's stop letting people die with fentanyl, the government's response almost universally across the board is, we need government fentanyl. We need safe supply. We need safe injection sites. We need to reduce stigma. We need to have, basically, more addiction. Their idea is you can solve drug addiction by giving people a place to use drugs and providing them with the drugs to use and decriminalizing it so they don't face any consequences for their actions. That's our response. Instead of securing the border, our response is to double down. Why? Why, oh why, is Canada defending something so defenseless? And why are the people of this country, many millions of people, rallying around the government? Now, we know what the answer is. We all went through C-19. We all went through the medical experiment. We saw what our neighbors are capable of. It just is what it is. The TV is telling them that they have to save Canada now, even though Canada's been under assault, being cut up and sold off and weakened for decades. All of a sudden now, everybody's a patriot, and they're rediscovering their national spirit. And they're rallying behind people who are refusing to disrupt the drug supply, to disrupt human trafficking. That's what you're rallying behind. Now, I want to show you two different forms of statesmanship. Ontario Premier Doug Ford, one of the people who is defending the status quo, defending the status quo of mass immigration, defending the status quo when it comes to fentanyl, and defending the status quo when it comes to human trafficking. Why, Dougie? Why would you put your name behind those things? The Americans have been crystal clear. Why are you people preparing to sacrifice hundreds of thousands of jobs and the Canadian dollar itself and quite possibly the sovereignty of the nation to defend fentanyl and human trafficking? Isn't that bizarre? I mean, think about that. That's the question that every Canadian should be asking these people. Ontario Premier Doug Ford said removing American products from LCBO outlets will be among the measures he would pursue in retaliation for Trump's tariffs. Why is everything about booze to Ford? There's a whole laundry list of 2018 campaign promises that the PC party hasn't delivered on. And I don't see anybody really demanding accountability for that. I was there in 2018. I liked some of what was said. He forgot about all of it as soon as he got in office, and somehow he's still ridiculously popular. And I've heard what people say. There's no alternative in Ontario. I guess that's why I'm in Saskatchewan now. Because Ontario is really broken, like deeply and desperately broken. I saw a video the other day out of Sault Ste. Marie. That's a pretty isolated little town. Massive amounts of garbage on the side of the road. And a guy caught a new Canadian dumping a pickup truck full right in the ditch. They're literally dumping on us. They're literally creating a trash heap out of our nation. And these folks, they want to talk about saving the country. They want to talk about that. Now they're bringing up our forebears and what they fought for in this great nation of Canada. First off, they've sold it out, but I've talked about that in other videos. But they allow a million people a year to come in this country. And a lot of those people are completely antithetical to our value systems. And we're not allowed to say anything about it. Do you realize that per capita, Canadian immigration, it's the highest in the world. But it's 10 times as high as the United States. I've heard it said that if we were absorbed into the United States, then we would have all their immigration and we'd have the Indian problem. And then you look at the stats for H-1B and you look at the stats for immigration, it's like, no, our immigration would go way down. We'd have way less mass immigration. Just is what it is if you look at it analytically. So this is Ford's strategy. Not only is he willing to pull booze out of the store, He's willing to go along with the liberals, cutting energy delivery off to the United States and resource delivery, which would be catastrophic for Canada. It's like a shotgun pointed at our own heads. That's just what it is. We can't win. All they got to do is stop the flow of fentanyl. All they got to do is stop human trafficking. Why are they willing to destroy the country to defend those things? Folks, keep your eye on the ball here. This ain't about flag waving and patriotism. It's about fentanyl and human trafficking. I don't know how I could make it any more clear. And then you have Daniel Smith. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to speak with Mississippi Governor Jonathan Tate Reeves, North Dakota Governor Kelly Armstrong, and Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon on Alberta energy and the importance of maintaining a strong trade. It goes on from there. She has been meeting with a laundry list of American state governors. Anybody that she can talk to, she is down there shaking hands with and having conversations and putting her face out there and advancing Alberta's interests. This is what actually trying to protect Canadians looks like. There's a lot of people online who have no idea what the issues are, and they say she's selling out. She's not the one selling out. Look, a leader's responsibility is to his or her people first. Not a flag, not human trafficking, not protecting fentanyl smuggling, to the people. So she's down there doing that. Listen, let's talk about the executive orders that were signed yesterday. What a day. I spent most of my day just watching all the different live streams, and not every stop, but as he was progressing through his day, he had executive orders waiting at least three different spots because this is different. This is not 2016. This is 2025, and he's ready day one. Guaranteeing the state's protection against invasion. That should make Canadians pay attention because the invasion isn't just from the south. They've already indicated that Canada, a nation that harbors terrorists, a nation that harbors human traffickers, a nation that produces fentanyl that ends up on American streets, this is an executive order. It's a warning shot across the Canadian bow. Restoring names that honor American greatness, this is the woke mind virus, as it has here in Canada, seeks to eliminate only one part of our heritage. And it's generally the story of Canada here, and it's the story of the United States. Here we tear down statues too. Here we rename institutions. Here they attack statues because they have no courage. They won't attack people. They're cowards. So they attack history, but they only attack a certain type of history. And Trump is signaling that that ends. America is not going to decline itself and humble itself before the world. It's going to expand and be great again. Don't you wish you had leadership in Canada that would say the same about Canada, that would restore our pride and wouldn't let every whiny crybaby dictate what our culture looks like? They have been attacking Canada relentlessly, not just selling it off, but destroying its identity. And now they want to unleash a wave of destruction in the name of protecting fentanyl and human trafficking that will destroy Canadian lives, and they're doing it in the name of protecting Canada. It is Orwellian doublespeak. They're not protecting anything. They are destroyers. They've been destroyers for decades, and they're still, more than anywhere else in the world, in deep control here. And you know them by their fruit and what they produce, and they produce disillusion and destruction. Designating cartels and other organizations as foreign terrorist organizations, especially designated global terrorists. This isn't just about Mexico. This isn't just about human trafficking down there. This is about us too. These are the warning signs of a pretext that could end Canadian sovereignty. That's why they're giving us an opportunity to do something about our problems. And instead of doing something, we're looking at unleashing a trade war where the politicians are completely insulated from the consequences of their actions, and you, the Canadian citizen, gets to starve to death. Isn't that wonderful? In a nation where you have no say, you have no right of recall, you can't even get an election in the middle of a national crisis where people have lost faith in the governing parties, where a governor general, the representative of the king, determines what little say that you actually have, that you can't even have that. This nation is backwards. It's archaic. And the will to reform it does not exist politically. I had an individual chime in yesterday saying that the nation just needs leadership towards these objectives, to actually being able to open up Confederation and convince people of the need to do it, that we just need leadership. The implication is that his implication was that maybe I could do that job. Maybe I could take that role. We're so far from that, folks. We can't even change first past the post. We shouldn't even be talking about changing first past the post. It's literally like it's the least of our problems. We should keep the House the way it is, a chamber that represents the population, the raw population. The Senate should represent the geography. We need to open the Constitution up and change the Senate. We need to have an elected governor general. There's so many things that we could do. Or in some ways, I wonder if it would just be simpler, specifically for the Western provinces, to talk to the Americans about becoming states. Canada as a whole cannot become the 51st state. We need individual statehood for the provinces. If you like your socialized medicine, which is failing, the worst in the world that delivers universal health care, Canada is the worst, the most expensive. We deliver none of the research and development. We're in decline, but if you love it so much, we could keep it. You could have state, like a state could have universal coverage. I think it's instructive that there's no, to my knowledge anyway, and I admit my knowledge is incomplete, so I could be wrong on this, but to my knowledge, there is no state in the United States that has universal coverage. But a state could develop a program, and they could tax their citizens to deliver that universal coverage. So maybe the provinces, when they become states, could keep it. I mean, I think it's honestly time to start having this conversation. Our leadership is bent on destroying this country. They're bent on it, and they do it in the name of unity. They say that Canada is not for sale, and all they do is sell us to the highest bidder. As long as they get a little piece of it and it falls in their pocket. Our politicians are corrupt. They're horrible. Our institutions are backwards. Why wouldn't we have this conversation? If the rest of Canada doesn't like it and you want to stick with your destructive, perverse politicians, you can do that. But maybe it's time for Saskatchewan and Alberta to entertain discussions with the United States. We could do a lot worse. Ending radical and wasteful government DEI programs and preferencing. The Americans are getting rid of it. They want a meritocracy. They don't want inherently racist policies that keep people out of the workforce. They want a level playing field. They want it colorblind. Doesn't that sound wonderful? In the name of anti-racism, and this follows along, let me just check to make sure I'm even recording. This follows along with everything I've been saying about Canadian government and so-called Canadian leadership right now. What they say, they do the opposite of. And so when they say they want to create an equal and just society, what they're actually saying, what they're doing is making sure that every single decision in society is filtered through the lens of race. They want you to see the skin color first and primarily and make your decisions based on that. It is inherently racist. And I don't know how people can't see it. So Trump is moving to end it. Defending women from gender ideology extremism and restoring biological truth to the federal government. There's only two sexes. Gender ideology is a construct created that enriches universities more than anybody. Gender and sex are not separate. You can have a gender role. You can have roles that are typically done by women and roles that are typically done by men. Doesn't make them biologically real. It's madness. It's mental illness. If you're walking around out there, identifying as something you're not, pretending, even though you're an atheist, pretending that you were born in the wrong body, you are engaged in a delusion in the society wants to not just tell the adults, but wants to tell the kids in public school, in grade school, wants to tell the kids that this is real, that you can embrace some kind of artificial construct, and somehow it's going to lead to happy outcomes. These people are miserable by and large. The only ones that are happy are the ones that are completely narcissistic and lost to their egos, that love the attention so much that they'll get it any way they can. Those are the only ones that are happy. It's like I said about the Tates and influencers like the Tates or the Blazarians. 95% of our boys who dare follow along with what they preach are going to end up miserable and lost and broken because most people can't make it. It's the same with this trans ideology. The vast majority of people who engage with it are going to end up broken and unhappy because they're not nuts enough to actually make it work. Defending women, so keeping men out of women's spaces, should be a basic thing. But we live in a world where the post-nationalist ideal, the weakening that, you know, you could argue that the entire effort to weaken Western civilization has been encouraged by China. That's why they invest billions in our universities. They love this stuff. They love the destruction of family. They love watching our demography in decline. They love watching mental illness become the norm. They love polluting our culture and destroying our great works of literature because it undermines everything that we are. And at the same time, it strengthens their hand. They're just doing warfare in the modern context because you can't fight a direct war anymore because of the nuclear problem. So you have to fight indirect war, silent war, psychological operations. And I think that's what you're seeing. Maybe it's not just China. There's a lot of people who could point fingers at various different people around the earth. To me, it doesn't matter who's behind it. What matters to me is that we as people identify it as toxic, as the destructive force that it is, and start rejecting it, which is what is happening in the United States, and it's beautiful. Establishing and implementing the President's Department of Government Efficiency. Can you imagine a politician in Canada actually advocating for going to war with the bureaucracy and the unions, the public sector unions? They are far more powerful, the bureaucrats and the public sector unions, than your elected government officials here in Canada. They live in fear of them. We are so far away from proper reform. America First Policy Directive to the Secretary of State, protecting the United States from foreign terrorists and other national security and public safety threats. Again, that one in particular is another warning to Canada because we harbor terrorists. Groups that are identified as American terrorist organizations by the U.S. government, Canada allows to meet in open. We allow them to rally. We allow them to organize. We allow them to march on our streets and burn our institutions and smash our windows and harass people just trying to go about their lives. We allow it. We encourage it. We import more of it. When does America build the casus belli, justification for war, that Canada is a legitimate terrorist and security threat to the Americans? Especially when you consider all of your politicians are rallying around keeping the borders open and allowing fentanyl and human trafficking to continue. That's what it's all about. All we have to do is solve that problem. There's no trade war. There's no tariffs. But instead, we're digging in. Think. Unleashing Alaska's extraordinary resource potential. They're going to get their oil and their energy. They're going to bring prices down. And they're going to sell it to the world. Wonderful. We should be doing the same here in Canada. These people, the same people who want to sacrifice more than anybody, they want to sacrifice the West into their trade war. They have opposed every single measure that could have made Canada more resilient and have an energy independent strategy. All of their actions have undermined that. They have left us prone and weak to the very thing that's happening by the United States right now, which is the leverage. We have handed them leverage. Them and the Chinese, we have handed them all of our leverage. And now, more increasingly, India. There's no Canada because we've given it all away. And so now if somebody wants to come and apply pressure, the only thing we have is pain. We don't have the ability to collectively fight. We don't have a military. We don't have the economic strength. We become a resource colony. All of you who are rallying behind them and saying, save Canada, where were you the last 20 years when Canada was converted from a strong nation, a strong middle power, into a resource colony? We're literally just here for the world to take advantage of. The mass immigration that we're undergoing right now, a lot of that money, what money that is produced, first off, the taxpayers being harvested, and we're financing people who've never paid into Canada, and then they're sending a lot of that money back overseas. We're literally being taken advantage of, and that's all it is. And your politicians, they celebrate it. They get on stage and they say, oh, Canada's a wonderful thing. Everything they say, they do the opposite. Again, by their fruits, you will know them. When are you going to look at the fruits of the tree instead of the shiny propaganda? It's disgusting. Protecting the American people against invasion, another one that people should pay attention to. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, global tax deal, I was reading through this last night. Basically, the Americans are saying there ain't going to be no global tax because they've been talking about it underneath your noses. The very people who are claiming they're representing and going to save Canada right now, under your noses, are negotiating a worldwide tax. The idea of implementing a worldwide tax, giving your sovereignty away again as a nation to another organization. That one we don't need to read because it's about appointments. Reevaluating and realigning United States foreign aid. Look, Canada is broke. We spend more than we take in tax revenue. And guess what? A lot of that money that's being borrowed on your kids' backs, not just given away to refugees and every other group here in Canada that hasn't paid into the system, we're sending it overseas too. So we're borrowing money against your future and then we're just giving it away to despots, particularly Ukraine. That's the biggest despotic regime we support right now. Whether you like it or not, it's a despotic regime. They've suspended elections. They're forcing their young boys into vans at gunpoint and sending them to the front to die in a war they can't win. And they're doing it on your child's dime. It's not even your dime. It's your child's dime. Temporary withdrawal of all areas on the outer continental shelf from offshore wind leasing and review of federal government leasing and permitting practices for wind projects. You know, wind can be a component, but it's ugly, it's inefficient, and it's bad for wildlife. Wind sucks. We knew this in the 70s, but people have short memories. We did this whole thing in the 70s, and then we decided we're going to do it again, and it's a great big colossal failure. Declaring a national energy emergency. So keep this in mind. Trump has declared an energy emergency, which means it's a pursuit of bringing down prices, refilling the strategic reserve. What is that actually called? The National Petroleum Reserve? Doesn't matter. It's the strategic reserve of the United States, which Biden denuded, trying to temporarily bring prices down so that he could potentially win re-election. He's left America prone. The strategic reserve is there so that if oil supplies somehow get cut off, there's enough oil to keep society moving, to keep the basics moving, and to keep the army fed with the fuel that it needs. It's denuded. He wants to refill it. But it's not just about that. It's about claiming American energy independence and unleashing the resources that are underneath their feet, which he calls liquid gold. He's very good at simplifying things into little sound bites. But in the midst of a national energy emergency, now declared, now the law of the land, Trump is president, what's going to happen to Canada in light of all the terrorist executive orders I just talked about and the cartel orders and the fact that they requested that we restrict fentanyl and human trafficking and gun smuggling, the things that are happening? In light of that, we cut off oil and resources to the United States in the middle of an energy emergency, all in the defense of human smuggling and fentanyl trafficking. Remember, you got to, I know I'm emphasizing that, but you got to remember what this is all about. This is the basic thing. The country is uniting around a destructive policy to protect open borders, fentanyl trafficking, and human traffickers. It's what we're doing, folks. Daniel Smith isn't doing it. I hope Scott Moe wakes up, gets himself aligned with Alberta. Canada ain't good for us. They haven't been good for us for a long time. That's why I'm here. I remember when I lived in Ontario the first 42 years of my life, I knew all the way through, as soon as I became politically knowledgeable, that the West was being disadvantaged of it. And in my heart, I wanted to be here. And now I'm here. And I'm even angrier than I was when I lived in the East. They don't care about us there. It's flyover country. It's just a place. to extract value from, to redistribute to Quebecois socialist schemes. If they love their Canada and they want to defend the things they're defending, they can stick with it. Maybe it's time for us to have that discussion. Maybe Canada is past its best before date. Because the dream of Canada and what we think Canada actually is not. And it should be clear from all my recent videos, all the different ways that we've been undermined and sold out. The national energy emergency is just another warning shot for anybody that has eyes to see and ears to hear. Restoring accountability for career senior executives basically means he's just going to fire all kinds of federal people that are terrible. But that doesn't concern our video today. Restoring the death penalty and protecting public safety. Getting tough on crime. Stopping radical environmentalism to provide water to Southern California. I don't want to get into that. Securing our borders should be another warning shot for Canada. All of these things apply to Canada. It's not just about Mexico. Like, the Americans can slow roll the message. They can slow roll the pretext. They can afford to take their time. While we talk about trade war, while we engage in a process that's going to just destroy Canadian lives and weaken our dollar, the Americans can afford to just sit back and watch it happen. If we don't want to clean up fentanyl and human trafficking, well, then they can just slowly ramp up the pressure. And they're telling us all the different ways they have at their disposal. America's a very strong nation. Ever since Diefenbaker, we've depended on them for our national defense. It's our proximity to them that allows us to totally gut and weaken our military. We just take for granted that they would never let anybody do anything to us. And I guess, to a degree, it's been advantageous. But now you get to find out why hiring protection from the world's bullies can end up backfiring. Because your protection racket might look at you one day and say, hey, you haven't been paying. And we're kind of sick of looking after you. And you've been very insulting and demeaning to us. Maybe it's time we do something about that. That's the position you find yourself in right now. Protecting the meaning and value of American citizenship. I'm sure that has to do with birthright. Unleashing American energy, America First trade policy. Declaring a national emergency at the southern border. You know what? I don't think I need to get into any more of this because I'm just going to skip right to the last one that's of importance, which is the recognition of the two sexes and the elimination of gender ideology at the stroke of a pen. Back to normal. Don't you wish Canada could do that? Don't you wish you had leaders that would say the things that Donald Trump is saying? There was it's kind of funny, the picture. I should be editing this, but I'm not. You know, I usually make some cuts just so that it's a little bit more fluid. Only two sexes. What the hell do I do with this flag now? Well, you could burn it. It's a good use for it. Or you could use it as toilet paper, I guess. That's what I would do. But first off, I wouldn't be caught dead possessing one. I'm telling you, it's I've been trying to say in these videos recently that Canada is in a supremely weak position and in a really bad state. And the thing that I've introduced in this video is that we are clinging to an ideology that the world is walking away from. I don't know what it is with Canada. We're always slow. So if you study historical trends over the last 40 years, there's an oscillation. You know, like there's a back and forth. So the pendulum is swinging back and forth. And Canada is always lagging the world. We always lag the world. We always lag the Europeans. We lag the United States. We're very slow, and it could just be indicative of the incredibly backwards nature of our institutions and our government. It's pathetic. It's literally probably the worst in the West. It is. I don't know why people would defend it, except out of some kind of false notion of national pride. The country you know and love in your mind is a myth. You believe in it like other people believe in God. But I would say that religion has more rooted It has more roots. It has more reality to it. It has more of a basis in fact than this nation does. Because what you think this nation is, it's not. We're overtaxed. We're overburdened. We spend in excess of what we take in. We celebrate only every other culture. You elect your politicians, and when they break their promises to you, you can't do anything. You can't recall them. You can't advance policy initiatives. You can't advance private members' bills. You can't do anything. You can't elect your Senate. Like, how undemocratic is it that we have a Senate whose appointees are appointed by the government, completely stacked by the liberals now, and they serve until they're 75, and they get gold-plated pensions? Half of them don't even show up to work, folks. Anytime you tune in on CPAC to senatorial sessions, all the seats are empty. And you defend this? You want to stand beside the people who will not secure the border, who will not stop fentanyl production and trafficking, who will not stop human smuggling? They're rallying around that as a cause for national unity, and they're willing to destroy your livelihood to do it? Those are your allies? Because it's the current thing that you're being told to do? Nope. That ain't for me. It shouldn't be for the West. If the rest of the nation wants to do this, then they should go ahead and do it. I honestly think it's time we started having the conversation. Now, Western separatism, a republic of Western Canada, is such a great idea. It's a good notion. It's been brought up many times. Some say it fails because it has a lack of leadership, that those who are smart enough to advance the idea, they're like herding cats and they get caught up on little points. All of that might be true. There have been separatist movements come and go. There have been political parties that have talked about referenda. All of these things have happened. Unfortunately, the moment for that may have passed already. Because I don't see any of the powers that be, whether it's the Russians, the Chinese, or the Americans, and the Americans remain our best bet, I don't see them letting us walk away from Canada. I think they would intervene. I think you would have, you think you've got foreign interference now. If the country was balkanizing and was actually breaking up, do you think the powers that be would allow that? I don't know. I don't know if they would. Maybe that's another conversation to delve into. They certainly don't have any qualms about interfering in the internal politics of other nations. Why would they not interfere in the internal politics of Canada, where there are strong investments and where we share a border with one of the people I've just listed? The Arctic is a huge issue now. Canada is a security question, and the Americans can make a case that it is a security threat. And you can call me a traitor all day, many of you will, but I'm realistic. It might be time to start having a conversation. I think, and this is another reason, we can go through this trade war. We can get to another election. We can have a Polyev majority. He can negotiate a deal with the United States, and he can promote himself as the person who saved Canada. But none of the other problems I've highlighted are going to go away. Even if he curbs mass immigration, even if he gets tough on crimes, even if he does these things and he manages to reform the courts so they actually keep criminals in jail instead of just releasing them every time they offend, it is insane what Canada is doing on justice. There is no justice. Police who actually do their jobs are faced with dealing with the same people they just arrested the next day. It's really heartbreaking, the position we're in. But if Polyev does the miraculous, pulls us out of the WHO and pulls us out of Paris, which aren't even really on the table, especially the WHO, a horrible organization. That's one thing I forgot to mention, was Trump pulling out of the WHO. That's a great thing. Look what they did to the world. Over a highly survivable, chest cold. Look what they did. Look what they put us through. Look what listening to them led the world into. Even if Polyev does all of these things, the structural problems at the root of Canada still need to be solved. And who's going to do it? Quebec doesn't want to fix anything. Ontario doesn't want to fix anything. And if Quebec and Ontario don't want to fix anything at the heart of this confederation that's rotten, well, the rest of us can just go pound sand. They've been telling us to pound sand for decades. Well, instead of pounding sand, maybe it's time to see what kind of a deal we could make. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.